You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
I want to minister to you tonight. Of course, I want to do that every time I get up here. But I have something in particular I want to share with you. You know, on Wednesday nights, for the past few weeks, we've been talking about finding yourself in the Bible. Find the place where it's written about you. That's what Jesus did when he started his ministry. You know, in Luke, the fourth chapter, it was handed to him the scroll. It was the scroll of Isaiah. He found the place where it was written. He began to say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, recover sight to the blind," all those things he said. And then he closed the scroll of the book, and he says, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." I think that's significant. That's the way he started his ministry. He started his ministry by saying publicly what God said about him. Now, of course, he was God, but he found the scripture. It says he found the place where it was written. That is so significant. And then it says of Abraham in the fourth chapter of Romans, in the 18th verse, it says, "Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations as it was spoken about him." In other words, God called him something. God had something to say about Abraham. I don't know what Abraham thought about himself, but I know what God thought about him. And you know, I don't know what you think about yourself, and I'm not always sure about what I think about myself, but what I really need to know is what God says about me and thinks about me. And so Abraham decided he was going to become what God said. And it says, against hope, he believed in hope that he might become. I love that. You have to believe what God says in order to become what God says. And if you want to become what God says, you have to believe in it. It's kind of hard to believe in if you don't know what it is. So you need to back up and find it. That's what Jesus did. He found it. He found the place where it was written. And then if you go over there to Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, it's the 10th verse. He said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." I always thought that so significant that he said, for in fact, he even, the verse before the 9th verse, he started talking about that he was the last to see Jesus and he was the least of all the apostles, not even worthy to be called an apostle because he persecuted the church of God. But that 10th verse, he stops himself, he checks himself, he catches himself. He was getting off in the flesh talking about who he was. And he stopped and he says, "But I am what I am by the grace of God." I love that. He realized that his identity really was summed up in what God said. Not in what he had done in the past, not in what he thought about himself, but what God said, that's what mattered. And there if you go over into the book of John, where John the Baptist, first Baptist, who has the same middle name as Kermit the Frog. Y'all kind of slow tonight. I'm just, okay, stay with me. John the Baptist was questioned by the Pharisees. They came to him and they said, "Who are you?" And they said, "Are you that prophet?" He said, "No." They said, "Are you the Christ?" He said, "No." And they said, "Who are you? What do you say of yourself that we may give account of you?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, as said the prophet Isaiah." I love that. See, John knew where it was written about him. And he was going around saying what God said about him. And the question should be, do you know where it is written about you? Actually, there's quite a bit written about us. Whole New Testament written about what Jesus has done for us, what he's made us, how he's saved us, how he's washed us, and on and on and on. But see, if we don't know that, we just go through life having an identity crisis, and we don't know who we are.
That's right.
Think we can't make it when we can make it. Think we're a loser when we're a winner. Hello, think we're a sinner when we're a saint, you know. I mean, we go through all this identity crisis because we have this assumption of ourselves, this idea of ourselves, this picture of ourselves, and you know what? We're just not infallible. I don't know about you, but I found out a long time ago, I don't know everything. Hello. It's a great day when you figure that out. So who's the authority? Who can we turn to? Who can we really run to and have some confidence in their opinion of us? Because you ask anybody, you're going to get a different opinion. Ask your mama, you're going to get an opinion. Ask your daddy, you're going to get your opinion. Your brother, your sister, those in authority will give you opinion. Psychiatrists, psychologists give you opinion. The world, politicians will give you opinion about you, who you are, and even what you need. That's going to be different depending on whether it's Republican or Democrat or independent. I mean, there's all kinds of voices out here and ideas about who you might be or who you should be or who you're supposed to be. How in the world are we going to know who's right? Well, we ought to go to the source, truth, the source of truth. Go to God, find out what God says. Be like John. Be like Jesus. Be like Abraham. Be like Paul. I'm not putting all those together. There's nobody that stack up against Jesus. He's the Son of God and God and our Lord and Savior. But he followed through with the same pattern. He said about himself what God said about him. You find the scripture when people deviated from that, when they got away from what God said about them, they always went under. In the Old Testament, you see the 10 spies that brought back the evil report and said they couldn't do what God said they could do, Numbers 13 chapter. Did you know they went under? They didn't make it, and it wasn't God's will to go under. In fact, it wasn't their destiny to go under. They were supposed to succeed, but they didn't because they couldn't see themselves the way God saw them. They said, we're like grasshoppers in our own sight. And Caleb and Joshua had another spirit, the Bible says, and they said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. They're bread for us. Their defense is parted from them. The Lord is with us. Wow, man, they saw it the way it really was, didn't they? And see, the sad part was that those 10 spies, the Lord was with them, but they didn't know it. And they didn't believe it. And so who they really were and what their destiny really was, they never fulfilled it because of either ignorance or because of just unbelief or just rebellion. They just wouldn't believe what God said. I think we fall in that category sometimes. Now, don't beat yourself over the head because, we're all in this thing together. We've all done this. From time to time, we see ourselves the way the world sees us or we have an opinion of ourselves. And there's something you have to always remember about this. You might have an opinion about yourself, but God doesn't have an opinion about anything. Okay. God says this, and I think this, and I think, God doesn't get up and have opinions about anything. What God says is truth. Period. In fact, it's not like a doctor, you can go get a second opinion. There's no other God to go to. Amen. And when he says something, that's the way it is. You know, I even think about the Ten Commandments. They're not 10 suggestions. Or 10 great ideas. There are 10 commandments. And so when we find in here some things that God says, and especially when he deals with people individually, it's amazing, how it changes our view of ourselves. And I think that's what we need to do. We need to change our view of ourselves, not just raise our self-esteem, not think better of ourselves, not be more positive, but to find out what God says about us. And change our view to what God's view is. Start saying about us what God says about us. I mean, wouldn't it be ridiculous for someone to come into a church and you tell them that if they would accept Jesus, turn their life over to Jesus, that they can miss hell and go to heaven? Wouldn't it be ridiculous for that person to say, well, I know that's your opinion and I know it does say that, but I don't think that's right. And wouldn't it be crazy for you, after you've accepted Jesus, really put your faith in the Lord and decide that, well, yeah, I've accepted Jesus, but I don't think I'm saved. Well, see, it doesn't matter what you think. What matters is what God says. Are you with me? And so we would go back to the Scripture. We would always go back to the Scripture, Romans 10:9, John 3:16, something that God said about receiving Jesus, putting our faith in Jesus and trusting Him and say, well, you know what? This is what God says. This is the truth. And that's the final authority on the matter. That's God's final answer. Amen? But, that's not all He talks about. Just had to be born again. Talked about a lot of things. And so when he says it and we find it, we need to stand on it with that same kind of confidence and that same kind of absoluteness. If God said it, that's the way it is. Doesn't matter what I think. I need to change my thinking. I've looked at this thing the wrong way. I need to start looking at it the way God looks at it and quit saying, yeah, but. Yeah, but. That 10 spies said, yeah, but. And even Moses tried to back out of his deal. When God called him, he says, Lord, I can't, I'm not doing this. Moses 5 times argued with God. And of course, when you argue with God, you're going to lose. Let's turn to the book of Judges, the 6th chapter. This is the about the judges. The book of Judges is about judges. You want to know what Joshua is about? How about Ruth? Can you guess that one? Okay. The book of Judges is about, it's a period of time where Israel was ruled over by judges. Now, they weren't ruled over completely by one judge. In fact, some tribes would be in one area and they'd have someone that God would raise up to deliver them. And there may be several tribes in another area. So it wasn't like they had one judge over all Israel. Now, they got more united when the period of the kings came along. Judges weren't necessarily people who ruled anyway. Judges were people, a lot of them were military people that set them free and delivered them from the bondage of another nation. This happened after the book of Joshua. You know, if you go through history, you know, you have creation to the fall of Adam, to the fall of Adam, to the flood of Noah, and the flood of Noah to Abraham, to this time of promise. And then you have the time of promise, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, when they went into Egypt and they went into bondage. And then Moses becomes the next prominent leader, and that'd be the book of Exodus. That's when the law came from Mount Sinai. And so you have the law and the tabernacle and all that that came in. And then they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. And finally, Joshua comes along after Moses dies, and he takes them into the promised land, and they fight city after city and win city after city, and they begin to settle down in their inheritance. And when they did that, other nations begin to come in and kind of nibble at them and fight this tribe over here in the south and this one over in the north. And that's when the period of judges came into being. The first judge was Othniel. He was the nephew of Caleb, Joshua and Caleb. Othniel, you know the judges, Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar. Remember those guys? Those are the first three judges, and then Deborah and Barak, and then Gideon. So when you come to the sixth chapter, you get down to Gideon. It's interesting when you look at these great men of God. You just think these guys were John Wayne. You know what I mean? They just kick the door down and tell them God sent you. You know? I mean, you'd think every one of them started out just, you know, had that swagger, you know, and just come in there and just take over. Just exude confidence around them, just had an aura of, you know, who, they knew who they were. Listen, invariably that was not the case. When God would choose people, many times they had a very low opinion of themselves. They did not see themselves the way God saw them. They did not think they could do what God said. In fact, the first thing God had to do was to change their view of themselves so He could use them. I mean, He finally had to change Abraham's name. He had messed with Abraham for 25 years and he still hadn't got it. He called him at 75. At 99 years of age, the Bible says God changed his name. From Abram to Abraham, father of many nations. Maybe if he starts calling himself the father of many nations, we can get this thing done. And that's when it happened. A year later, he had Isaac. But it wasn't until Abraham changed his view of himself that the miracle came. Till he got to see in himself the way God saw him. Moses had the same problem. I mentioned him a while ago. God had to change Moses' idea of who he was. He said, I will be with you. That was what Moses had to get a hold of. You can do this, Moses, because I'm going to be with you. Hello. And the thing with Abraham was, you know what? I'm going to do this thing. I will do this thing. Moses got in the flesh and it didn't happen. It had an Isaac. But God said, I'm going to do this by promise. So he runs across Gideon. Man, Gideon, this is the most spectacular deliverance. And I'm not going to have time to get into the whole battle. You'll have to go read it. But I just want to start out how this leader got started. You know, how he, man, I mean, this is somebody that we could never attain to this kind of faith and this kind of confidence. This guy was just born a leader. Whew. Are you ready? 11th verse. 6th chapter, 11th verse. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Oprah. And that's not Oprah Winfrey. That's not the television show he's talking about. In Oprah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. Wow, that's pretty bold, wasn't it? Like that? He's hiding. Everybody say hiding. And it says, the 12th verse, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Woo! Hallelujah, somebody. Well, now, I think it's fascinating that God had a different view of Gideon. In fact, if you and I walked up on the scene and saw him hiding over there in the wine press, thrashing his wheat and looking up from time to time, see if anybody's coming, we wouldn't get the picture of him being this bold, mighty man of valor. Would you get, I mean, I wouldn't have picked him, would you? I mean, I can see God coming down. I'm not going to pick out somebody to lead me an army here. The most spectacular victory, the most lopsided victory You know, he wound up defeating the Midianites and all those that came with them. There was 120,000 of them, I believe, or 132,000. He defeated them with 300 men. Initially, he started with 300, and there were some other people that got in the fray after, you know, when you start having successes, people want to join the boat, you know, get on the wagon. But he started out with 300, and he just routed them. I mean, there's never been a victory like that in the Bible ever recorded. That is the most lopsided victory, and what it shows is that God can do anything if somebody will believe Him, if you'll just trust Him. But initially, Gideon wasn't just all that in faith. And he calls him a mighty man of valor. That's what he really was. Now, he didn't realize it, and he didn't seem to understand that. But that's what he could be. That's what he should be. That's what he was. Because you are who God says you are. You're not always what you do. You're not always how you act. You might lose. It doesn't mean you're a loser. There's a lot of winners that lose because they don't know they're a winner. A lot of overcomers that get overcome because they don't know they're an overcomer. They know they could overcome. They didn't lose because they weren't overcomers. They lost because they didn't know they were overcomers. See, the Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It's what Jesus said. And the truth is you are who God says you are. But if you don't know that truth, it won't make you free. The only truth that makes you free is the truth you know. So you can actually go through life and not even know you can make it. Not even know you're a winner. Not even know you can have your prayers answered. Not even know you can be blessed and you can be a blessing. You said you can go through life and not know that? Sure, you can go through life and not know that. If you don't know what the Bible says, then you don't know who you are. Hello. So, I'm sure Gideon was shocked by this and thought maybe the angel was talking to somebody else. In the 12th verse it says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord. That's an amazing statement. He said, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles? Hey, listen. Gideon didn't have a problem with knowing who God was. He just didn't know who he was. Are you getting this? He knew who God was. And he knew what God could do. But he was having trouble with us. He didn't know who he was. And you know what? He wasn't real sure God was with him. Y'all catching this? It's great to know who God is. You need to know who God is, but you need to know who you are. And you need to know that the Lord is with you. Because, see, he was questioning the Lord being with him. He looked around here, and he interpreted all what he knew about God from his circumstances. And he thought, well, God must not be with us because look at the circumstances. And that's a lie. God never, he has said he'd never leave you nor forsake. That's what Jesus said. So when things start going bad, don't start putting the blame on God. Don't think he's forsaken you and left you. Start rising up and acting on his word and doing what he says to do. Amen. So he says, well, if the Lord's with us, and see, this was true. I mean, there's nothing wrong with this statement here. If the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Now listen closely here. Then the Lord turned to him, 14th verse, and said, go in this might or strength of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent you? Well, now, wait a minute. What strength is he talking about? What might is he talking about? He's telling Gideon, you are correct, sir. God's not behind the problem. God is the deliverer. God is the miracle worker. God is a God of deliverance. God is a God of miracles. God is with you. Amen. You are correct about all this. You're just missing it on the him not being with you part. But God being with you is how you're going to deliver Israel. This revelation, this truth, this is your strength. You go in this might. Now, man, that's just power-packed. I mean, that is so filled with information. If you want to just dissect and take it apart, think about this. Truth doesn't set us free. Only truth we get up and go with sets us free. He was speaking the truth about God, but he hadn't been going with it. He hadn't been running with it. He hadn't confronted the enemy, the opposition, the crisis with that truth. And the Lord was telling him, you take this truth, you take this might, and you deliver Israel with it. Well, now, all this is going on in my life, and I got all this happening, that happening. Man, yeah, I thought God was this. Well, God is that. I'm not saying bad things don't happen in this world. A lot of things happen in this world that you don't have any control of. I understand that. But you are destined to win. Yes. I think, in essence, I've said it many times, and you know, you're designed by God to win. You're programmed to fail. Yeah. This world programs us to fail. We're unworthy. We're not as good as somebody else. We make all these wild comparisons about people, you know, and we just don't count. And then we think about our lineage and our heritage and our bio, as it were. You know, that's Gideon fell in that trap. In fact, he began to crawfish, as we say. You know, that means back up. I'm not moonwalking. I'm talking about back. Crawfish, stagger at the promise. Hello. Doubt the promise. Because he just told him what to do. All of a sudden now, he put this ball in Gideon's court, and he says, now Gideon, you go do something with this. Now that's right, you got it, boy, now run with it. You go in this might. He didn't rebuke him. He said, you're right, that's exactly right. God's God of deliverance, he's God of miracles. Now go in this might, and you will deliver the Israelite. Notice what he said, the last part of the 14th verse, have not I sent you? I sent you, I'm behind you, I'll back you, I'm with you. That's the way he started out. He says, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Now, you think that'd be enough, and he'd jump on that and says, yee-haw, or yippee-ki-yi-yay, as we say in East Texas, and get along, little doggies, and let's go for it. But that's not exactly what happened. It still took him a little while. 15th verse. So he said to him, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? What? Me? Whoa. Me? What? We were talking about you, God. I'm not talking about me. But see, really, it always does come back to you, doesn't it? I mean, once we get through God and about God, then it comes down to you and what you're going to do. Only the truth you do is going to set you free. Only the truth you continue. That's what Jesus said. He said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Yes. But see, if you back it up, the truth won't make you free if you don't know the truth, and you won't know the truth if you don't continue in the truth.
That's right.
So the only truth that's any good is the truth you do.
Yeah.
Because only the truth you do is the truth you know.
Amen.
What did Jesus say in Matthew 7 chapter? He says, I liken a wise man to a man that built his house, heard my sayings and did them. And he's like a man that built his house upon the rock, and the winds came, and the waves, and the wind blew. The rain came down, and it did not fall because it was built on a rock. What rock? The rock of doing what he said to do. Isn't that good? That's all God's asking us to do. Just do what he said.
That's right.
Just do what he said. Go out there, Gideon. You can do it. I'm with you. You can make it happen. But here's what he says, 15th verse. So he said to him, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh. And I am the least in my father's house. Hey, we don't just have a weak tribe in Manasseh. We're from the weakest clan in Manasseh. Oh, and I'm not just from the weakest clan in the weakest tribe. I am from the least in the clan. Here's his identity. Here's how he sees himself. In light of his lineage, in light of his heritage, in light of his family, in light of the circumstances, I hope you see yourself in the light of God's Word.
Yes.
Amen?
Right.
See, what God was coming along here doing was giving him the truth about who he was, revealing to him what God said about him, what God's view was. Not God's opinion, but what God said about him. God doesn't have opinions. See, God doesn't have, he doesn't speak in opinions and conjecture and wishful thinking. He doesn't say these things like pipe dreams. These are truths. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Are you with me? Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You're more than conquerors through him that loved you. Thanks be unto God who always gives us the victory through Christ Jesus. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Hello. Those are truths. Those aren't opinions. They're not great ideas. They're the truths. But they're truths that we have to pick up and go with. They don't just happen. You have to pick up and go with them. You have to pick up and do something with them. You know, the truth of Canaan was pretty simple. God had given them all that land. That was the truth. It was their inheritance by right. God had given it to them. But you know what they had to do? They had to cross that Jordan, and they had to kick those Canaanites out of their cities. And those Jebusites, and those Hivites, and those Perizzites. They had to run them out of city by city. Jericho and Ai, all these cities. See, it was theirs, that truth was theirs, but they had to run with that truth. They had to go with that truth. And the only truth that helps you is the truth you go with. It's not theory. It's not abstract. It's not ethereal. It's not mystic or esoteric. Are you with me? Some of you may say, well, no, not really. But, I mean, it's not out there somewhere. It's practical. It's where the rubber meets the road. It's daily, day by day, standing on the promises and saying what God says about us. You are who God says you are.
That's right.
Hallelujah. You're a winner, not a loser. You're a sin overcomer. You're not destined to be overcome by sin. You're destined to overcome sin. Battles come and go. Sure, I understand that. I mean, we have free will, and there's all kinds of people involved here. It doesn't mean you're always going to have everything happen just perfectly in your life. But I'll tell you what, you can begin to win little by little, step by step. Sometimes you need to change directions. I understand that. Come on, I hadn't succeeded in every single thing I ever did. But you know what? God always wants me to win. Get back on my feet again. If I fall, the Bible says the righteous falls 7 times, but he rises again. God wants you to get back up again. That's what John Wayne said in that famous movie, The Cowboys. You're going to spend your whole life being knocked down and getting up again, so get used to it. Another guy said this, I thought this was real good. He said, I'm never down. I'm either up or getting up. So just get up. Get back up. Don't have an identity crisis because of failure, or because of going under, or because of bad times, hard times, economic times, whatever the case may be. Don't internalize that. Don't make that personal. To fail doesn't mean you're a failure. To lose doesn't mean you're a loser. I hope you have a stronger sense of who you are than that. We are who God says we are. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. We have been made saints and not sinners. Hello. I mean, it took Gideon a while, but what took so long for Gideon was to get a sense of who he was and get a view of himself that agreed with God's view. That's when the victory came. That's when he got up and began to fight, is when he began to see himself the way God saw him. That takes time. That takes getting in the Word. That takes confessing the Word, praying the Word, digging in there and finding out what God says. Hallelujah. Okay. So he began to give his natural bio, 15th verse. He says, indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least of my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you. And you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Gideon, you're not getting this. If I come on you, we can whoop the whole army, just you and me. Because everything's changed, as the world says, all bets are off. What do you mean by that? Well, it doesn't matter what you think. God has spoken.
That's right.
And God has the final word. And if God said you're something, you're what God says you are.
Right.
And if God says you can do it, you can do it. He will be with you. He will be with you. He will be with you. Yeah, I remember when God called me to pastor. I didn't want to pastor. I didn't even feel adequate to pastor. I still don't feel adequate to pastor. But see, God called me, so it doesn't matter what I think. Hello. It's not me. It's Him doing it in me. God's not looking for somebody to do stuff for Him. He's looking for somebody to do stuff through.
That's right. That's good.
You get that? I mean, that's where we mess up. We get to thinking, oh, God wants me to do this and that. I can't do that. No, God wants to do this and that through me. Get quiet in this Pentecostal church. Hello. That's where we miss it. Oh, God, I can't do that. Well, that's not what it... He said, I will be with you. That changes everything. So quit thinking about, you know, get your resume out in the natural. Quit thinking about your limitations. Quit thinking about your weaknesses. And start thinking about His strengths. See, the Bible doesn't say be strong in yourself. He says be strong in the Lord and the power of His might.
That's right.
Ephesians 6:10. Woo! Hallelujah. Just hold that thought, right? It says here, 16th verse, and the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Then he said to him, now he's still backing up, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign. It's fascinating. He's still crawfishing. And listen, hey, he turned out to be a tremendous warrior. I mean, he led them into the greatest battle, greatest victory, most lopsided victory ever recorded in the Bible. But he didn't start out this way. There's hope for you and me. Amen. There's hope for you. There's hope for me. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's a lot of times I feel inadequate, but you know, if I just go ahead and step out there, just do it. Just do it. God will be there. If I step out on the water, it'll split, but not till I step out on it. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, he went a little further here. I won't go too far with this. Stay with me. We're not going to go through the whole battle. I'll tell you that right now because this will be all night long. Read this whole chapter and then read the seventh chapter. Hello. And find out how God, he had too many men to start with. I think he had 132,000, something like that. He had 32,000. And then God said, that's too many. So he sent 22,000 home, and he said, you still got 10,000 getting. That's just way too many. That's just, you got way too many. There's only 135,000 enemies. And you can find that if you write notes in the 8th chapter, the 10th verse, he tells you how many there were. There's only 135,000 enemies. You got 32,000. That's too many. It's new math, okay? I don't get it, but this is the way God thinks. He says, get rid of some. And he says, okay, any of you people are afraid? He has 32,000 people. He says, any of you people afraid? He says, 22,000 of them said, yeah, we're going home. He says, okay, go home. So now he's got 10. And God says, nah, I think that's way too many, Gideon. He says, we're going to narrow them down one more time. You just go over to this river, and I want, you know, see how they drink their water. And those that lap water, you know, instead of getting down on their knees, those that lap water, they're the ones I want you to take. Only 300 of them did that. And he took 300 men and defeated 135,000. It was really a supernatural way he did it. You have to read the battle. I'm not going to give you all that information. But let's go just a little further here before we quit here. Is this helping you? Now see, now what's the whole point here? The point is you have got to begin to see yourself the way God sees you. I don't know what you're facing. Everybody faces different things. I don't know what's before you. I know this world is not, it does not determine your destiny. What happens to you doesn't determine your destiny. What you do when something happens to you determines your destiny. The storms don't determine where you go. It's where you set your rudder that determines where you go. The storms come to all. But see, if you're standing on the Word doing what God says, then you'll still be standing when it's all over. So don't fall into that trap. If you're just used to going under and used to not making it and you've convinced yourself that's who you are and you never be doing anything for God, never be anything for God. See, you're not, don't settle on that. Don't let that seep into you. Maybe you think you found your place in the world, but it's just found its place in you. You are a square peg trying to fit into a round hole. The round hole of failure is not what a square peg of Christianity fits into. You say, well, you said I'm sinning because I failed? No, it's not a sin to fail. It's a sin not to get back up. Yeah. Is it a sin to be poor? No, but it's a sin to want to stay there. Is it a sin to be sick? No, but it's a sin not to want to get healed. Are you with me? It's not a sin for things to happen to you. Come on. What the sin is, to not try to overcome those things, to not rise up against those things, to not go in the might and the strength of what God says. The Lord is with me. Amen? And only the word, only the revelation, only the truth that you stand on is going to help you, that you run with, that you go with. Think about it. This was God's will for Gideon, but Gideon had to take it up. This was his standard. This was his weapon. If he didn't go with this might, go with this strength, or go with this truth, he wouldn't have won. Just like us when we don't go with it. You ever hear that when something's happening to you, everybody says, oh, just go with it. You know, be flexible. No, you go with this. Go with this and you'll win. Well, he questioned God. He wanted a sign. He went and got an offer and brought it back, and God devoured it with fire. And he said, ooh, that's pretty cool. Let me do this one more time, God. I'm going to bring this fleece, and I want you to make the whole ground dry and the fleece wet. So he gets up the next morning, the fleece is wet, and he gets a whole bowl of water out, wringing out of it, and the ground is just perfectly dry. And he says, well, man, that is just awesome. One more time. I'm going to bring the fleece out one more time, and I want you to make it dry and the whole ground wet. And he comes out, and sure enough, the whole ground's wet, and the fleece is dry, and you know what? He gave it up then. I mean, this wasn't just a huge amount of confidence on his part, but you know what? God finally did make a man out of him. He finally did make a man of valor and a man of faith out of him. And what caused him to conquer, and of course you can read the whole story, was holding on to that truth. And he did it little by little. He first began to, you know, take out the idols that were in his town, and he got ten servants with him. This is fascinating. He got 10 servants with him, and he went and tore down the idols, and he set up another temple or another sacrifice altar to the Lord. And they all got mad and wanted to kill him, and his father talked it out of it. The next thing I know, he's got 32,000 people following him. I mean, we'd probably quit with the 10. Is this it? Is this all I can get to follow me? Is all I got going for me? God, you told me to do this, and I got 10 guys on my side, and that's it? Well, next thing you know, he's got 32,000. You know what God says? That's too many. What an anointing. But he had to make some decisions. You know, he had to decide he was going to go with what God said about him. That's good advice, amen? I mean, that's a good word. You and I need to find out what God says. Don't you kowtow to the devil. Don't you kowtow to sin. Don't you give in to the situation, the circumstance, or the storm. You find out what God says, and you go in the strength of what God says. Go in the strength of what God says, and you overcome the circumstances, because the Lord is with you.
Yes.
Hallelujah.